People want to find peace immediately. And this is where people don't like me. I don't believe that shit. You ain't gonna find it through yoga and all this other bullshit. I stretch out a lot and I believe in yoga and all this shit's great, but you ain't gonna find it in some room. You're gonna find peace from going to war with yourself, because we all got shit. We all got shit. People look at me. The reason why my story resonates with people, because I don't hide. I'll tell you exactly who the I am. I will admit to it. People are great at hiding. So they want to just find peace. No, you got to take your shit, fix whatever's up in you. Don't just shove it under the rug. Fix it, and then you'll find some peace later after you fix some shit.
I didn't care about losing weight. I didn't care about being the fastest person. I wasn't making the Olympics. I wasn't going to pros. I could barely read and write when I was in a junior in high school. I wasn't going anywhere. I saw working out as a way for me to build calluses on my mind. I had to callus over the victim's mentality. So I watched these movies. I talked about Rocky last time I was on here. I always equated training to mental toughening. Like, it always looked brutal. People waking up early and doing all these things. And it looked horrible. I was like, wow, man, I got to start doing that. Not to get better, bigger, and stronger, but that is what's going to build me. That looks uncomfortable. That looks brutal. And getting up early, I don't want to do that. So I made this long list of things I don't want to do. And through that, I found myself. I started, you guys aren't doing in high school. You guys aren't getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, running over here in this golf course. So I started seeing myself very differently than the average human being. I was like, hang on a second. I have something they don't have. And that's when I started to develop these things through working out. It was this great, never-ending work ethic. And through work ethic, I developed self-esteem. Like, people think that the races I did in the military broke me. I was broken way before then. Numerous health problems before I even got in the military.
Really?
Numerous. I'm talking about, like, you know, you're talking about like sickle cell.
Yeah, I remember that.
Twisted body from all the stress I was under as a kid. Yeah. Different, just a lot of different problems. Thyroid issue, adrenal issues, all kind of
that you had when you were young?
Yes.
Okay.
And so then they got magnified as I got older. So I would go to the start line of a race, like Badwater. 135 mile race to Death Valley. No one knows this, but if you go back, and there's videos of me out there, Google David Goggins' first video or first Badwater race, you will see black compression tape on my ankles. I had broken feet at the start line of a 135 mile race.
Feet were broken.
Broken. And if you go back, you will see as I'm finishing the race, you will see this black compression tape floating behind me. I went to the start line of that race. I trained for that race with broken feet. And I don't talk about a lot, because what happens is normal people with normal minds can't understand that. So then you become a liar or this and that. But now I got to the point in my life where I'm like, go f*** yourself, dude. If you don't believe it, go ahead. But I don't talk about a lot, because I know what I've done, and I know what the mind can do and where it can take you. I've experienced it over and over, and my mom has seen it over and over and over again, to the point where it's almost like I can't even believe sometimes, but I'm willing to go there. I want to push myself to that limit and see what happens. You have to go dark. What I mean by that is you have to be quiet in your mind. Get away from people. We love being around people. We love talking. We love parties. We love all that shit. It's okay to be alone. It's also okay to be unhappy. It's okay to be unhappy sometimes, man. It's okay to say, you know what, man? I'm f***ed up. So you got to go to the truth first. Who are you? Get really accountable and say, okay, who am I? What's the truth about me? Get to that dark place in your mind. Figure out, it may take months, it may take years. Figure out your purpose. Figure out what you want to be in life. And then from there, okay, I have my purpose. It may take a long time. No one knows their purpose because it's too loud. Find your purpose. From there, all right, you got to start planning. People love the planning phase because it's very comfortable. Mm. And then from the planning phase, you got to go to execution. So the execution phase, what we all hate, because that's where the real work begins, and that's when the failure happens, and the failure, and the failure. So, but you know, that's kind of how you have to do it.
Why am I here? You know, I had to find purpose, and my suffering, it had a purpose. It had a purpose.
So attacking is not like, oh, I want to win this or win that or be the best. The best is I'm running against myself and everything I do. And that's what I attack. I attack myself. I'm always questioning myself. I'm always holding myself accountable.
It's all bullshit. Just do. You're living. How do you want to live? How do you want to die? How do you want to be remembered? That's it. That's it. Period.
No one's going to come back and say, hey, man, I apologize. Maybe someone does. Very few people will. So at the end of the fucking day, when all things are said and done with, while my dad was the devil, and I believed that for a long fucking time, I had to confront him. And when I confronted the devil, so what I thought was the devil, I realized that I was the true devil. I was the one holding me back. I was the one looking for the scapegoat. And you know, I was the one looking for all these ways to say, it's okay, David. You're a loser. You're a born loser, so it's okay. And I was hoping my dad was going to give me that confirmation. And he was a loser himself. But at the end of the day, when I left there, I realized, man, this is on me. My dad's up. My mom's up. The people around me are up. They're not going to save you. You got to save yourself, my friend. So that's when all that reality hit me.
When your mind, this is this whole 40% rule shit I talk about all the time, that I made up a long time ago. I started making it up through pain.
Tell them what that is. Where'd you go?
So basically, the 40% rule is, I am a strong believer that we quit. Because why? How the fuck does a 297-pound cockroach guy,
right,
who quit on everything, is now considered one of the best men on the planet?
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
It means I had to change one thing, my mindset.
Mm.
So there's no way in hell that was in me, but that was. That guy was in me.
Mm-hmm.
One that guy came down here and said, hey,
right,
guess what, man? You're a f-, but I'm going to now make you a badass. I'm going to miracle this shit to be a badass. No, it was in me. I had to believe and make that belief work. And through hard work, I did that. So the 40% rule is like we have like a car. Some cars have a governor on it. And when you get to like 92 miles an hour, that car will start doing this because it can't go any faster. Those cars that don't have governors on, like a fast ass, whatever, Porsche, whatever, that motherfucker bury it, gone. We have that ability in us, but we have put this governor on our minds. And you have to, the factory that put the governor on that car, the factory is now you. That put that shit on your fucking mind. You got to take that motherfucker off. Until you take it off, you're going to constantly get to 92 miles an hour and do this. Because you ain't going to go faster.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you might even go slower. So basically, I started realizing this through my life, through going through all these times.
You are your own hero. You are your own leader. You are your own master. And that is a big one because we idolize so many people. And we want to be them. We want to be someone else. And in doing that, you lose all the potential of who you are. You mimic. You be them. You are them. You become them. And you lose you. And we look up to so many people in this world who will let us down. We're humans. I'm going to let you down. You're going to let somebody down. And you put them on a pedestal, you then lose time when that person comes up and lets you down.
Mm-hmm.
You must hold yourself accountable and being your own hero, that's what that does. You make yourself so totally accountable for who you are. You focus on you and only on you to become the best person you could be for others. Because we leave a lot on the table not searching who we are. And then therefore, you die not knowing your greatest potential.
You have to forgo something. Yes, ice baths, saunas, sleep, nutrition. All this shit so fucking important, dude. I don't have time for some of it. To extract what I had to extract,
something had to give. Like you talk about you when you were younger, you would give these speeches and stuff. The same age you were giving speeches, I was trying to figure out how to say the without stuttering. And I realized as I got older that all these things are important. But for me to stop stuttering, I got to build confidence. And speech therapy didn't help that. Nothing helped that. I have to forego a lot of to be as up as I am to build confidence. For me to stand in a room of 10,000 or one person and not and be like, oh, put my head down, let me look around, let me read these paragraphs first, and then before I read the paragraphs, because they're calling me next, let me just leave the room kind of stutter. That's a miserable life. And that's one of many things I did, besides lying, besides being insecure, besides being immature, besides being fat, besides being one of the only Black kids in my school. There's a lot of things I had to overcome to gain confidence. And in doing so, a lot of that had to go. A lot of it. So I became the guy that became once again misunderstood. You only sleep 4 hours a day, 2 hours a day. Sometimes you don't sleep at all. Like, what's this and what's this and what's this? I know it's all important. I can't, something's got to go.
So you want to be normal. So you just want to be like everybody else that roams the world, not knowing the power that's in them, being fine with being mediocre. You want to go back to who you were, huh, David? I'm like, that, man.
You have that conversation with yourself every day.
Not every day, it's those bad days.
Yeah.
It's those bad days. I see a whole bunch of people walking around out here who have no idea how talented they truly are. And I'm talking about talent, like some God-given ability. Talent that sometimes you have to hone, and you have to work on, and you have to harness yourself. And they just walk around just on their phones, just clueless to how powerful they are.
Once you change one thing, your mindset, you can attack everything. And I find it fascinating. I'm fascinated because I'll be in these moments. I put these guys on some pedestal.
Yeah. Which people do with you.
They do with me, and they shouldn't. And I was this guy who was a piece of shit looking at these, my God, how are you guys? It's amazing. But once I worked my way up there, I said, my God, man, we can all compete. Let's go. So do I like suffering? I like suffering in the way that is competitive.
Yep.
That brings out the absolute best in me and in everybody else. So like, I want to see a man be defeated. I want to see a man get broken and say, F you. I love these men. These men I love, but there's very few of them. There's very few of them. And there's very few that are willing to go there more than once. A lot of people, even people who've gone through special ops, it kicks the out of them to a point where in their mind, what got me bad in pararescue was when I was going through it, I said, I'm only gonna do this one time. And so many people in special ops, whether they believe it or not, in anything, special ops in anything, that's hard. I'm only doing this one time. Once you say that, you f*** yourself.
Think about it, man. We know what to do. We know what to do. Every one of us. That's why he flipped it so fast. Because he knew what to do. He didn't go by your exact protocol. He didn't go by the exact... No. He knew exactly what to do. And you just saying some shit to him, it woke something up. He knew what to do. And that's the thing that people need to get that. You know what to do. Why aren't you doing it?
Like if you go to whatever company, they have this mission statement on how we want to run our company. I made one for myself on how I want to be. And that is why if people can make up a mission statement, an ethos in which they want to live by, and every morning you wake up, you hold yourself accountable to that mission, not a company's, your own. Make up your own mission statement. What do you want to be in life? And once you do that, now you can work with somebody to get better. You can work with yourself to get better. But until you know what you want to stand for, you will always just be sitting down. You'll never stand for anything. Just shut up and let me enjoy this pain. I don't want anything to numb it. I don't want anything right now. Because what I had done was I just, in my mind, and people will take this wrong and take it as wrong as you want to, I don't really care. I had just climbed a mental wall that was amazing. And I didn't want anybody to take that pain away from me. I never want to feel it again. But what it did was it showed me what is possible. And that's what set the new stage for me. That's when I realized, oh man, I've really been underachieving my entire life. And the greatness is right in you. And that's why, once again, I'll say this a million times here, I do not feel sorry for you. I will not sugarcoat what I'm going to say to you, because all of you know what I'm saying is the truth. Everybody knows it's the truth. This is what it looks like. And you know it too. You know it too. This is what, if you ain't got nothing, I hate to tell you, what it looks like is ugly. It's not a documentary. It's not an HBO special. You ain't gonna watch it, but hey man, you guys gotta watch this. No, it's like, oh God, this looks like a train wreck. It's like a nightmare. This looks like this guy got, no, that's what it looks like. Hard work looks horrible. It's not motivating. It's not motivating at all. If you're choosing to do something, attack it. Because they're gonna remember you as not attacking it. So I want to be remembered. You can hate me, but one thing you can't say about me, I didn't attack it. So that's the mentality you have. If you're gonna do something, you might as well attack it, because you can do it anyway.
Right.
Hope is bullshit. When I was going through SEAL training, a lot of people hoped that they would pull us from that cold water. Man, hope ain't gonna get you because it's not in your hands. Hope is not in your hands. You can't control hope, man. You can't. It's just some, hopefully this thing happens. But when you get belief, when you start to create belief, and belief isn't like an after-school special. Most people think, oh man, like your mom and dad, you know, you need to believe in yourself. You know, Sesame Street, when I was growing up and shit, you know, you need to believe in yourself. That's not the belief I'm talking about. It's the belief that you harness through hard work and dedication. And it's something that you know what you are capable of because you've gone there several times in those dark times. So my belief, why I kept on going back to Navy SEAL training and going back to all these different things, not because I hoped training would get easier. It's because I believed I could make it. Through the training I put myself through, I just wasn't doing and executing as I should. And I knew that. It was all on me. So then when I put that belief into work and that hard work came to fruition, everything happened for me. I woke up and said, I'm going to change my life. I was being haunted for years of just being a loser. But I'm back here, and I went to the recruiter's office, and they said pretty much, I saw a Discovery Channel show about Navy SEALs. I said, I'm afraid of the water. I got to become somebody I'm proud of. Long story short, went to the recruiter's office. He said, pretty much, you're fat and you're black. What happened was, he said I only had a few months to lose 106 pounds. So I'm back in this restaurant, 1 o'clock in the morning, spraying cockroaches. I hit the mother cockroaches. They come falling over my head everywhere. Rats and shit. I was spraying this stuff around. And it was in that moment, I realized this is the rest of my life. And I saw how disgusting my life was and how miserable I felt inside. And the change I had to make came from literally listening to the fact that I am a born loser. I didn't want to die a born loser. I didn't want to die that way. I wanted to die wringing my soul out of everything I had. So in that moment, I made a very big decision to put everything I had, put everything on David Goggins. Everything. I made a decision, and my decision was to be the best person I could. And I basically, a lot of mornings I wake up and say, feelings. And that doesn't mean like, you know, don't take it literally, your feelings. But sometimes you have to go beyond what you're feeling. And my knees were, guess what? I wanted to run. And I knew that, okay, you can get knee replacements, this and that. Like I said, it wasn't because of I ran too much. People always want to say, oh man, you ran so much, so you your body.
You know, you don't want to be like David Goggins. I hear it all the time. You don't want to be like David Goggins.
Never pick the easy road. Never. And it always goes back to kind of the hero mentality. Never pick the easy road. Ever in your life. That is the one road that is doom. It is doom. If you want something like 6-minute abs, all these different things, if you want it so fast, you may achieve what you wanted, but you want the permanent fix. The permanent fix comes from the hard road. The hard road gives you permanent results. The easy road gives you the quick fix. You will go back to where you started on the easy route. That hard route is so permanent that it ends up callousing you everywhere. Everywhere.
You keep a six pack forever.
You keep it.
You keep it.
Because you know the work that goes into it.
Yeah.
And the last one is, when you get to where you want to go in life, and you finally get there, you finally reach that point, and you're there, and you're happy as hell, realize this. You're not there yet. When you get that feeling that you arrived, be afraid.
Right.
Be truly afraid. Because now you start to do this.
Slowly die.
Slowly die. Either you're getting better or you're getting worse. You're not staying the same.
Yeah.
So when you get to where you think the journey is ended, and you're sitting back and you're like, I arrived. I'm on Mount Everest. I climbed 29,029.
Yeah.
The best thing to do is fall back down that damn mountain as fast as you can and start climbing.
Find the next climb.
Find the next climb.
Yeah.
I don't give a f- about what you think. I don't give a f- about me, nothing else. Hard on myself, bro. Every morning I woke up, all right, I call it my morning meeting. My morning meeting. We all have the meetings all day long. You know, we go to work. We're working for somebody else. They want a meeting because they want to be successful. So we all sit down, try to make them better, try to make them more money, try to make them more powerful. We don't do that for ourselves. So every morning I wake up, I used to. I had to get back into it again because that morning meeting, I wake up, okay, Goggins, what did you do yesterday? Where were you at? And I just go through and I analyze my life.
My life is good right now, but I can't let it be too good ever. Yeah. I have to remind myself that these calluses on my hands come from hard work. And the second your hands get soft, everything else gets soft with
Stand
it.
By.
Stand by. Stand by. It's coming. So what I learned is that you can have too much. You can't have too much, and your mind goes with it. There's no f-ing secret.
Yeah.
It's just hard f-ing work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I hate to say it, man. Everybody goes, what is your secret, man? What's your secret about business? What's your secret about this? What's your secret about that? You don't want the f-ing answer. The answer is, you see these f-ing hands?
Hard work.
Hard f-ing work, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to voodoo some I'm not a magician. It's not magic. It's literally, you're going to have to wake up.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to sit there and say, day's going to suck. And then when that day is over, you're going to wake up again and say,
yeah.
The next day is going to suck.
Yeah.
And that's going to be your life.
Yeah.
Unless you're this guy who sits back and says, oh, I have this great idea. And it happens to work.
Yeah.
And you can be some lazy fat that sits back and makes millions of dollars off of some idea.
Yeah.
But the majority of you gotta wake up every day, punch that mental time clock and say, this is gonna suck.
Even though I made it, I went back to that fucking start line after I made it 100 more times. That's real life. Real life is you get to the start line. You think you see the finish line, and something happens, man. Life happens, and you go right back to the start line again. You say, fuck. And sometimes you get pushed way back in that start line.
The journey I'm on is very different than most people, which is why I don't judge people. I say that many times. I don't judge people. I'm judged a lot by how I look, my eyes, my not smiling all the time, not laughing, not joking. And that's the big, I'm a funny, big time. But guess what? Right now, it's easy to be happy. It's easy to smile. Those are the good times. The good times. Mm.
Those times don't need to be trained. You know, I had to train myself for good times. Those times, for most people, don't need to be trained. What I'm trying to give you all is the misery of sometimes we go through in life. Those are the times we don't want to talk about. We want to skip forward to peace. Let's just all this. Let's skip all this pain and suffering and misery of real life. Let's cover it over, nice big blanket, and let's find peace. No. Sorry. It's not possible. You got to go into that hellhole of life that you have, you up, and fix it. And that's what I'm here to do.
You got to go to war with yourself before there's peace.
That's what I say in the book.
That's what you say in the book.
You must go to war with yourself before you find peace. So I'm trying to give you tools on how to do that. And I'm not considering smile and be happy about it. It's a hard journey. It's a real journey. It's a journey that's going to take you way outside of being comfortable. You'd be very, very uncomfortable doing it. How am I going to respect you? So you have to be a hard worker, period, dot. You got to work your ass off. That's where I gain respect for you. Mm. So if you're working hard every day, now you have an opinion in my eyes. Mm. But if you're just a guy who talks shit and you live this life of talking shit, come on, dude. Mm. I understand one thing. You're just talking shit. But if I see you every day of your life trying to be better, every day going through all the wickets to be better, you got my attention. Mm. I respect you now. Mm. So respect is the first thing.
So I used to coach a lot of people. I don't coach anybody now.
Got it. But you used to coach.
I used to coach them.
Okay.
So what it was, my first question was, okay, what are you willing to give up? What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to forgo? Because a lot of people, like this guy came in one time, I was a trainer, and he goes, man, I can stop doing anything but my Frappuccinos. I go, leave. Because I'm looking for that person, like me. People, it's hard for people to understand how I lost 106 pounds in less than 3 months. I sat down at the table and I said to myself, what are you willing to give up? Everything. And when people come to me with that kind of mindset, I can work with you. When you are willing to strip yourself down to nothing and give everything, that's who I want to work with. Because now I can mold you into exactly who you want to be. When you put these restrictions up, and that's why my first question is, how bad do you want this? If it's as bad as you want to live or breathe or sleep, whatever the hell it may be, I can work with you. But a lot of people, most people don't want it that badly, which is why they always ask the question, man, how did you get to where you are? You know how to do it. You know exactly how to be you or how to be me. You don't want to do it. So I can't make you do it, nor do I have the time or energy to force you into that place that I know you have to be to do it. There's no luck in this game, man. It may be a little bit of luck, but the luck happens after you bust your ass and you put yourself in that lucky situation. Luck doesn't happen. You put yourself in that situation where luck might happen. And that's what people don't know. But to get there, luck ain't gonna happen. You have to put yourself in that situation, man. It takes a lot of work. My fears, my insecurities, and I saw real men, what I thought were real men who were staying, who were overcoming adversity, who were overcoming all these different things that I had blamed so many people in my life, my dad, my mom for not being there. When I was 14 years old, my mom was gonna get remarried to this great guy. He got murdered. And then I moved back to that small town in Brazil, and I everybody was to blame. My learning disability, my skin color, you know, me being everything. And so I sat there for a while and I was like, man, I've got it. No one's gonna come to help me. No one's gonna come to help me. It's me against me, period. And so I had to man up. And I said, the first thing I start doing is facing every fear I have, no matter what the it is, man. And these things would keep me up. And no one, people who are hearing this, they will never really understand and grasp when you face these things and so many things, how they keep you up and haunt you at night.
I think there's a lot of people out there that know what you're talking about.
I mean, so that's what it did. I believe in a higher power. Don't know the name, don't know where it's coming from, don't know anything like that.
But I believe that this power, and visualize me real quick. Let's say it's a man up there, or a woman, whatever, and they have a chart. And when you're born, they say David Goggins, born February 17th, 1975 at 6 a.m. They write the chart down because they can see everything. They know exactly what you're supposed to be. They know what you're supposed to be. You die, you go to so-called heaven. You arrive at heaven, I'm 300 pounds. I retired as an Ecolab guy, which is okay, just a job, whatever. I go up there and God looks at me and he shows me my chart. And my chart on there says you were supposed to be a Navy SEAL. You're supposed to weigh 185 pounds. You're supposed to be one of the smartest people on the planet, this, all this. You see this. And now you're in heaven, you made it to heaven, but you're like, God, Doug, I was supposed to live that life. I was supposed to live that life. And then you find out that the reason why, because we all think that if we pray on it, if we do this, if we do that, whatever, if we don't work, we just, whatever, it's gonna magically happen for us. No, I believe that when I'm all said and done with, my whole job is to outwork the chart. Whatever the chart says about me, the all-knowing power up there, I want to get up there and say, him look at me and say, I know everything. I didn't see this. I didn't see this. I want to feel that. I want to get to the other end of this world, and however I'm being judged, whoever's judging me, to look at me and say, I did not know. I had you at 185, I had you at this, but all this other, I was riding as you were living it. I want to find more. All I can. And in that sack of shit, you have to dive in that to find more. Because if you're not willing to go in there and face yourself, you're not going to find anything. You're going to live right here on surface, man, right here on surface. So if there is an ending to this world and there is somewhere to go and there's a judgment, you're going to get there and you might see a chart. And that chart may tell you who the you should have been. And now you get the rest of your life to think about that. Man, I could have lived a much better life if I just would have just suffered a little bit more. If I just would have went in that shit and realized I had so much more. But fear and the 40% and living here versus living here, being afraid, stop me. So that's, I'm a big guy in visualizing. I'm a big guy in making a world. It may not exist. To me, it does. To me, it does. And I'm overpowering myself every day. And you got to find tools to do that. That's a tool that I use. They have already put their cap on their success in life. And that's why most people aren't sitting where you're sitting or sitting where I'm sitting. You never capped yourself. You might have. And if you did, you took it off.
100%.
People cap themselves. They look at somebody, and because their mind can't imagine it, they then start talking shit. This, he has to be doing this, or he has to be doing that. There has to be some trick. There has to be some potion. This is bull. No, it's because you cannot allow your mind to open up for the possibility. It can be done, which is why you being people,
yeah,
are where they are today.
Yeah.
Because you have not, you shackled your mind to have limits. I want you to learn that the only way you grow is how to look at yourself and say, okay, like I did, table longer than this. What the I have to do to get somewhere? There was nothing good on there. Nothing. Yeah, I love playing basketball. I left that out. That's something I love to do. I don't care about that. That didn't make the list. Because the list that I had to live by was the very list that was to get me at this table with you. To talk to you, to the normal human beings which I once was, about how you can get somewhere. And how it looks. It looks very ugly. There's no passion. There's no motivation. There's no... Nope. sitting in the if not, I'm 185 pounds. There's no magic potion. There's no, oh, let me wake up and look at some. No, all those words are overused. They're bullshit. When I was 297 pounds and I was fat as hell trying to be a Navy SEAL, the scariest thing in the world to me, even to this day, was that that could have been the rest of my life. I thought then I was trying hard. That's the scariest thing in the world. I thought then, 297 pound, working for Ecolab, spraying for cockroaches, making $1,000 a month, I thought that was me at my 100% potential. Come to find out, a few years later, I wasn't anywhere near that. 106 pounds less, graduate Navy SEAL training, went on to do all these other things. Looking back on that, that was me trying hard. That's why people gotta understand, what is in us, we have no idea until we start trying hard. And I mean really trying hard, where you're obsessed with, hey, this is my new norm. My new norm is that, wow, this isn't always fun. It's not always meant to be fun. And that's when you know you're trying hard. We all look for toughness. We all want it, but we look for it in a comfortable environment. You will not find toughness in a comfortable environment. Those of you who are listening to this, whoever hear this, you will not find it. I was trying to look for it everywhere. The only way you find it is to drown yourself in a position where you're just out of sorts, where you can't swim and you're drowning. Where you're drowning. You're drowning in life. But you say, you know what, man? That. I'm going to figure out how to fuck backstroke or something.
It feels good to talk about that shit, man. It actually makes you feel good, makes you feel proud, all that shit. But guess what happens? That alarm clock goes off at 4 a.m. to train. I don't want to be a SEAL today. I don't want to be whatever today. I'll start tomorrow. And that's the usual pattern of people's lives. That's why I talk about clearing out the mind. Until you really want to do something, you always get to be a talker. You always get to run your mouth.
I believe to sharpen your sword, which is your mind, you must do something that sucks every day. You must challenge yourself outside your own comfort zone. You cannot live in a world that you are great at. If you live in a world that you're great at, you will not grow. You will stay right there. That's just my mindset. So the accountability mirrors, what did I do today? And what didn't I do today? My dad messed me up. My mom messed me up. The kids that call me Nick messed me up. But now all that in my life is now mine to own. It's now mine. They're not coming back to help me. So now I have to now take this, repackage it, hold myself accountable for whatever life throws at me and start fixing it. It all starts with the reflection in the mirror. And that's my accountability mirror. Don't blame anybody for where you're at. Even if people may have helped you get there, don't blame them. This is how you fix yourself.
What separates me from a lot of people is they go into a daunting task, and the task is overwhelming. Like when I heard the pull-up record was 4,020 pull-ups, and I was talking about breaking this record, people are like, oh my God. I went right to a pen and paper. They go, what are you doing? I'm doing the math, man. What are you talking about? I'm open-minded to the fact that, okay, if I do 5 pull-ups in a minute for so many hours, I can get so many pull-ups in. How much time do I have to rest? I was breaking the math down. You have to be open-minded to the possibilities that I can do this. Once you shut your mind down to the possibility that it can be achieved, there's no way it can happen. So that's why my eyes and my body light up about things, because I know that if you're in a fight, you have to attack. You have to keep attacking. The enemy has to know he is not going to give up. You must break the soul of whatever the is in front of you. That's what I realized. I was never breaking the soul of anything in front of me. So that's why I came up with a thing called Taking Souls in my book. I started to devise ways to break a soul of a human being, of an object, of whatever's in front of me. If you keep on attacking something, nothing wants to stand in front of anything. When you take that road and you just don't want to just fit in, it's a lonely road. It's a lonely road, and you get a lot of haters, man. Like I tell people all the time, man, if I can walk on water, mother just say it because I couldn't swim. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Once you figure out that you're in a race amongst billions of people that live in this world, you're in a race by yourself. You have a purpose, and it's your purpose, not everybody else's purpose. It is your purpose and only your purpose, and it's your race. So then you're like, hey, man, I'm doing my thing. I'm doing the best of my ability. What's next? There's no longer these small increments to get through life. Because once you figure out why you're here, it just becomes a process.
What is possible for a human being? You don't need to have a great family. You don't need to be smart. If you have work ethic and you are willing to outwork the inside you, you can do absolutely whatever you want in life. And that is my biggest treasure that I have is what I have up here in my brain, what I've found out, what I learned through this journey, man. It's not for sale. It took too much. It took too much grind, man. It took too much grit to develop this mind and to have this power I have now. I'm not a theorist. I'm not a theorist. I don't read a book about how I'm use his mind. I'm a practitioner. I put myself in hell repeatedly, like a sword. How you make it? You put in the fire, you beat the shit out of it. And that's what I did with my mind, man. So that's what I take the most pride of right there.
But the biggest key to success in anything you do is you got to have an unlimited supply of you. This drive and passion, and it may come from nothing. Like for me, there was no passion, no drive, no nothing. But I had this fire that I'm going to be somebody. And it has to be there, because on all those bad days and all those days you don't want to do shit, you have to be your own motivator, your own coach, your own trainer, your own everything. So to do that, you have to come into work, and work is whatever your work may be, ready to go. And what that means is you may have failed miserably yesterday, but you come to work like, be like, man, you just lost everything. How the hell are you just damn motivated? Because this is what it takes. This is what it takes. And you got to get it from wherever you can. Whether you make up this illusion of your life or this false reality that gets you motivated, whatever gets you motivated, it's got to be here at the tip of your brain at all times. Because in those dark moments, you got to pull it out. So that's the big thing for me, man. I was always fired up at all times.
And that's where it, and you realize through hard work, you can outwork anybody. Mm-hmm. No matter how bad they are. But that's the part people don't want to dive into.
I have to tell this young man or woman that the only way, I believe, and this is just my experience in life, the only way you're ever going to get to the other side of this journey is you have got to suffer to grow. To grow, you must suffer. And some people will get it and some people won't. But they have to see what their journey is to start their journey. Several people live to be 100 years old and they have great lives and they have great kids. Their kids go to college and all sorts of stuff. But somewhere in their life, there was a point where they had a decision to make. They can go left or right on this path. Left was the easy route. Right was the hard route. A lot of people take the easy route. And they had a good life that way, but the better life was going to the right side. And you may have 20 years of pain and suffering to get past it, but a lot of us die never truly starting our journey. And I would tell this young person, you gotta start your journey. It may suck, but it will come out the other side where you're coasting. So those voices are very important. They can guide you. And that's the thing about it. Like I said, the mind's the most powerful weapon in the world.
Yeah.
It can guide you to being very comfortable also.
Yeah.
So you gotta be careful. The mind will trick you.
Yeah.
And it's saying, just sleep in today. You deserve it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't deserve it. So there's that fine line of the mind getting the tactical advantage over you to where you're like, I've worked too hard.
Yeah.
You really haven't worked hard enough. Most of this generation quits the second they get talked to. You did this wrong. You did this wrong. Or they get yelled at. It's so easy to be great nowadays because everybody else is, most people are weak. This is a softened generation. So if you have any mental toughness, any ability, if you have any fraction of self-discipline, the ability to not want to do it, but still do it. People have a hard thing to understand. I hate to run. And what makes me so crazy, it doesn't need more, is people go, well, why do you run if you hate it? What are you talking about? I don't want to take showers and eat either. I hate that too. That's life, man. That it wasn't until I changed that mentality that I became somebody. I hated going to school. So guess what? I was dumb as shit. That's what, 1 + 1 = 2. But if you can get through to doing things that you hate to do, on the other side is greatness. That's what people understand. By me running, I am callous in my mind. I'm not training for a race. I'm training for life. I'm training for the time when I get that 2 o'clock in the morning call that my mom is dead or something happens tragic in life. I don't fall apart. I'm training my mind and my body and my spirit so it's all one, so I can handle what life is going to throw at me. Because the life I've lived, it throws a whole bunch at you. And if you're not physically and mentally prepared for that, you're just going to crumble and you're good for nobody. I'm not a real smart guy. And what I mean by that is I was born with ADD, ADHD. My brain cannot retain information. I'm not some genetic freak when it comes to running, when it comes to lifting weights. I am absolutely the bottom of the barrel. And people will never believe me. And they can just, you know, whatever. Believe what you want to believe. So when you ask me this question about what does studying look like for me, I have to go over the same page over and over and over and over again. While Jennifer can look at that page, while she's, you know, quizzing me, she'll learn it right then. She didn't know anything about it. She will quiz herself or quiz me and learn it as she's quizzing me. It's the most frustrating thing in the world how my brain works. So what I do is I literally sit there with a pen and paper and I have my books and I go through and have to write everything down every single day. I will study the same page until it's photographic memory from writing the same thing down. And then from there, I'll go back through and relearn again. So I'll learn the bulk of it, but then I'll go through and learn the small things within that. So if it's a medication, I'll learn what the medication does. I'll learn how to even say the medication, because these medications aren't like, you know, like albuterol. No, it's very big words. So I'll go through, learn how to say the name. Then I'll go through, learn what the dose is. Then I'll go through, and this is like every single day. So not like, oh, I got it. Let's just go through. No, nothing is I got it. It's an endless process. Endless process. All that shit that I went through in my life to get here today, it is tattooed. It is tattooed in my brain. Every day I wake up, I am constantly battling that person that is like, man, you know, back in the day, this happened to you, man. You know, like you got called so many times and your dad beat the shit out of you, man. And, you know, you couldn't read and this dad gone junior year. All these things start to creep up, even now where you're at today. Every day you're having to constantly battle. It's not as bad as it used to be by any means, but that person's still there. That person always lives. And that's the point about, you have to continue to always challenge yourself every day.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.